evening, everyone, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church's Encounter Service on our Wednesday night. It is a joy to have you here this evening, whether you are worshiping with us here in the theater in person, or whether you're at home worshiping via live stream, or maybe even participating after the fact. We appreciate that you are here, and we know that no matter where we are all joined together by the Spirit, which is exactly what we have been talking about in Encounter for the last few weeks. My name is Reverend Brandon Baxter, and I'm one of the pastors here at West End, and I want to invite you to this service. It's a service of different things. I'm kind of calling this our pray ground. We're going to play around with different things and pray in different ways throughout the course of the year. And so we will have different themes for different sets of worship. And so right now we're worshiping in a particular way and focusing on the Holy Spirit. But after fall break, when we come back in mid-October, we may be doing something quite a bit different. So we're going to continue to play with this space. And I hope you get something out of each worship. And if something feels different or strange to you, that's okay. Just go with it and give it a try, and we'll see. And we're all growing together in this. So this past few weeks, as I said, we've been focusing on the notion of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is literally the presence of God among us, working in us and through us, in the world around us. And so we welcome the Spirit into this space tonight. Tonight, in our third session, we are going to think a bit about the experience of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his profound encounter with the Spirit and with the risen Christ. And so that's going to guide us tonight. And actually, I'm going to invite Chase to go on and put our image on the screen for tonight, if he can do that for me. Actually, that is not the right image. So, Chase, you can take that one away. I either sent the wrong image or Chase has the wrong one. So I will find the right one for him in a minute. But if I can find the right one for him, it's supposed to be a contemporary stained glass window celebrating the life of St. Paul. And the window illustrates his writing and teaching, facing many adverse conditions on his long voyages and travels by the road. And it was designed and made at Sunrise Stained Glass Studio in the UK. So if we can find that, I'll go get it put up there. If we can't, no big deal. We'll just leave this up here for tonight. So without further ado, I'm going to invite you to join us in some song, because song is one way that we can join our energies together and welcome the Spirit into this place.
We haven't stood up to sing. I think we should stand up to sing tonight. I think especially since everybody should know this.
Let's do it. Come thou fount of every blessing.
Come on.
I think you all did know that one. Hopefully those of you at home knew that one too. If you would join me in our gathering prayer, and you can stay standing for this and then we'll sit down. This way we can get a little energy in this place. Fire of God, thou sacred flame, Spirit who in splendor came, till it glows with love divine. Breath of God that swept in power in the Pentecostal hour, holy breath, be thou in me, source of vital energy. Strength of God, thy might within, conquer sorrow, pain, and sin. Fortify from evil's art all the gateways of my heart. Love of God, thy grace profound, knoweth neither age nor bound. Come my heart's own guest to be, dwell forevermore in me. Thank you. You may be seated. And now we're going to have some scripture.
Our scripture today is from Acts 9, verses 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now, get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
We found our picture. And if you see in this image here, this actually depicts different part of Paul's ministry and journey, but centered here in the middle is Paul falling off his horse in that blinding moment. So I invite you to continue to meditate on that. I want to read one more bit of scripture here from one of Paul's letters, Galatians 5:22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying others. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to take a seat here, I think. So far on our journey, now 3 weeks into the six, we have explored how the Spirit of God had been working in and through creation since the very beginning of time, and continues to work in and through us today. And then last week we considered the Spirit-filled Jesus and the ways that Jesus shows us what it looks like to be fully open to the Spirit of God and to allow one's whole life to be shaped by the inner workings of God. But as I suggested last week, because we as Christians claim that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, because of the completeness of the indwelling of the Spirit in Jesus, we sometimes find Jesus to be sort of a hard example for our own lives because we are merely human. But the beauty of Christian history and of our tradition is that it's full of imperfect and sometimes struggling but faithful people who have also encountered the resurrected and ever-living Jesus through the Holy Spirit. These people have leaned into the Spirit, trying to make sense of the life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus, and also to set examples for what it looks like to try to put Spirit-filled living into practice. Now again, these people were not perfect, and yet we owe them so much gratitude for showing us what it means to try to live after the pattern of Jesus the Christ. And there's been no mere mortal more influential and consequential than the Apostle Paul. It's entirely possible that we would not even have Christianity. We might not be in this room today were it not for the faithfulness of this flawed and brilliant and tenacious follower of the way of Christ. And it all started with an encounter with the resurrected Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you know, if you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been working off of a book by Grace Sejun Kim, where she writes a bit about the history of the Holy Spirit in the Christian tradition. And so I want to read you some that she writes about Paul and his experience of transformation. I think she does a great job with this. She writes, "As we think about the beginning of the church, we cannot ignore the effect that the Apostle Paul had on the church. Paul was not perfect, as he would be the first to admit. Writing to the Romans, he notes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Although his letters contain ideas that many of us find problematic today, the majority of the church, and especially the Protestant denominations that came into being during the Reformation, and of course we as Methodists are a part of that, recognize that Paul's importance in teaching what it means to follow Jesus in community. Paul's clarifications on the law in Romans provide a steadying counterbalance to the exuberance of Pentecost, to some of that overflowing with the Spirit." Grace Sejun Kim writes that, "My Sunday school teachers were obsessed with Paul and his writings. It seemed as though our lessons constantly focused on Paul's teachings. We were expected to know Paul's letters and even his biography as told in Acts, including the period when he despised Christians. There was so much emphasis on Paul that every time a new student named Paul came to church, we would celebrate as if he embodied Paul of the New Testament. Paul was talked about constantly. In sermons, Bible studies, small groups, and other teachable moments in the church, Paul received so much attention that I sometimes felt as if Paul were God. One may wonder to what extent this was hero worship, as one may idolize Odysseus or Aeneas, the heroes of two great ancient epics, both of which appear to be echoed in Acts. The man we know as Paul was also known as Saul of Tarsus. He was from Jewish parents in the city of Tarsus of Cilicia on the southeastern coast of what is now Turkey. When he was young, he was taught the trade of tent making, as recounted in Acts 18:3. Paul was studious and knew the Jewish religion well, and his enthusiasm for the religious establishment may have led him to persecute the followers of Jesus. He even went so far as to travel with letters of arrest from the high priest in Jerusalem. And it was during one of those very travels on the road to Damascus that Saul was converted by a vision of Christ. You see, Saul was persecuting Christians, and it wasn't pretty. When we see the context of Saul in Acts 9 riding into Damascus, breathing threats against the followers of Jesus, we see something recognizable to the Christians who are persecuted around the world. We in the United States don't see Christian persecution, but other Christians around the world know that their Christian faith can lead to death. For example, during the Japanese occupation of Korea from 1910 to 1945, many Christians were persecuted. They were either put in jail for their faith or killed. This was a horrifying time for Christians living under Japanese colonialism and persecution. But read further on in Acts and see what happened to Saul as he nears Damascus. The writer of Acts says that a light shone from heaven and Saul fell to the ground. A voice from the light called out to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" Saul asked, "Who are you?" And the voice replied, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Saul was blinded for 3 days. What a conversion experience. Going from persecuting the followers of Jesus to preaching the good news is one incredible story. The bright light shone and changed Paul, forever, and he went on to spread the good news. This shows the incredible power of the Spirit, which was witnessed by Paul and the people around him. I think she does a really good job there with that. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been blinded by the light, although I do like that song, "Blinded by the Light." I don't know any of the rest of the lyrics to that, though, but it's a good song. But I've never been blinded by the light or knocked over by the Holy Spirit before. And so in some sense, it's also a little hard for me and maybe for you to relate to Paul also, or at least to his profound conversion and transformation experience. If we think about it in mythical or even magical terms, however, if we consider this to be a moment where the God known in Jesus Christ touched Paul's heart and soul in such a profound way that it changed the direction of his life, then I think we can all really begin to identify with Paul's experience on some level, and perhaps maybe even Jesus's. Paul certainly comes to understand his own experience of the Holy Spirit as an experience similar to the indwelling of the Spirit that guided Jesus. In fact, Paul is one of the first people who really wrestles with and helps us understand just who the Spirit-filled Christ was and is. Without Paul, it would have been much harder for us to speak of the Spirit-filled Christ in the way that we did last week. He's sort of an interpreter of Jesus for us. Paul's own experience and his response to that experience, and his sharing it with others through his speaking and his writing and his living, have helped us better understand what it means to be in relationship with the Spirit-filled Jesus. I want to read just a little more from Kim before we get to our time of meditation. She writes, "From his dramatic conversion experience, Paul portrays a Spirit Christology, that means a way of thinking about Jesus, as he ties Jesus to the Spirit. Paul's first letter is most likely the one we know as 1 Thessalonians. In that letter, he writes, 'You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia.' This sets the stage for how he proceeds to explain how one behaves and what the role of the Spirit is in people's life. In brief, Paul can imitate Christ because the Holy Spirit works and dwells in him. Paul sees that Jesus is raised to new life by the Spirit, and that it is the Spirit who enables the believer to confess that Jesus is Lord. To be in Christ and to be in the Spirit are the same. Just as God and Spirit are the same, the Spirit cannot be experienced apart from Christ. And if you find this a bit confusing, don't be alarmed, because in the medieval era, efforts to interpret ideas like these led to massive splits in the church between East and West regarding the nature of the Holy Spirit. Can you believe people actually used to fight about that? Some people still do. Paul develops the implications in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The Spirit not only gives us life, but also provides fruits that will allow us to be the light of the world. The Spirit is the one who will bring us together so that we can live with love and joy and peace. And for Paul, the Spirit, the gift of God, is life within us that empowers us to do good. And Kim doesn't write this in here, but I would also say that's the way our founder of Wesleyanism, John Wesley, saw the Spirit as well. Without the Spirit, the world cannot see what love is or what joy is. It's the Spirit that moves the world to glimpse the holy life, a life that is in God. And this Galatians passage of living in hope and peace will bring together love and understanding. We need to love each other as God would love us. In our world of pain and suffering, this is a hard task to live into, which is why we are so dependent on the Spirit. So that's Kim's interpretation of Paul and of the invitation from Paul. Now, Paul was a man on a path, on a journey, not just to Damascus, but through life. And then Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, came and changed the direction of that journey. His life became full of the fruits of the Spirit. And he thought that about how all of our being can be transformed, and then God would share similar fruits with us as well. Paul's life was never the same. Perhaps you've experienced such a change of direction in your own life. Or maybe one is on the horizon. Perhaps you sense where the Spirit is leading you, or maybe God is about to surprise you. Or maybe sometimes, like journeys often are, we're just lost on the road. But with that in mind, and in your heart, I want us to go on a mental journey tonight, together as we remember the times when God has maybe already surprised us or redirected our path, and consider how God might be directing or redirecting us this very evening. Now, the last 2 weeks I've invited you to simply go to prayer stations and follow some prompts. Now tonight, if you would like to find a seat in one of these places, if you think it would help you reflect, to either be looking at our candle that represents the light of Christ, if you think it would be helpful to draw or doodle or write words while we do this mental journey, you're welcome to come over here. If you think it'd be helpful to lie down while you do it, there are mats over here. I love to lie down when I'm meditating. Or you can stay right where you are. But if you're going to do that, do it now, because I'm about to take us on a journey. So if anybody wants to take up position anywhere, go for it. I'll give you about 15 seconds to do that. And if you're worshiping with us at home, you can simply relax and lean into this time of meditation. And you may also, if you choose to, follow some of the prompts, the at-home prompts that are on the program there for you. Now, if you're not writing or drawing, then I invite you to close your eyes. I want you to settle into your body and allow yourself to relax. Take a few good deep breaths. Breathe in and out, allowing your breathing just to be natural and steady. Sense that God is with you in this moment. And now I want us to go on a journey. I want you to think back to your earliest memory. When can you first remember being you? How old were you? What do you remember? What was life like? Sit with that earliest memory of yourself for a minute. Now I want you to imagine that youngest version of you stepping onto a path and beginning to walk forward or crawl forward, depending on how young your first memory is. You are now beginning on the road to this moment in your life. But there's a lot of road to walk between your youngest self and now. So I want you to step onto that path and step slowly down the path. Remember the various stages of your life. Take some stops along the way. Maybe you take a brief stop with a particularly vivid memory from when you were a young child, or a youth, or a younger adult. And as you walk down the path of your life, begin to pay attention to the times when God has nudged you or even pushed you in new directions. What were those moments like? How were you changed or transformed? Was it a radical conversion like Paul's or a gentle push in a new direction? I'm going to give you some time to walk this path as Matt plays some music. Thank you. Now, wherever you are on your life journey, I invite you to mentally walk forward until you reach yourself today, right here in this moment. Marvel at how much you've changed across the course of your life. Then wonder, are there things happening today that are similar to other turning points in yourself and in your life? Are you in a place of stability, or are you being knocked off your proverbial horse? Where is God leading you today? I'll give you a few moments to come to your present self, to ponder these things, and then we will close our time of reflection when Matt leads us at Ubi Caritas once again. I hope your journey was a good one, and I hope you know your journey continues, and God continues on that journey with you. Now, I welcome you into a time of prayer with me. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the ways that you fill our lives with promise, with hope, with change, and the ways that you sometimes gently and sometimes radically remind us that our life needs to shift a bit and change. Lord, we give you thanks for the ways in which we have grown in our lives together and in our walk of faith. And we also ask that you would open our hearts and minds that we might continue to grow in your Spirit and in your truth that we might, like Paul, do our best to be apostles whose lives are centered on you and on your goodness in this great world. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen. And after we sing, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," I invite you to leave this place and to take the Spirit with you and to journey on in life. And we'll meet back again here next week as we continue welcoming the Spirit into our midst. Matt? It's easier to breathe when you're standing.
God, and go in peace.